Now, time for a little commercial. Does the Bible Really Say That? By Duncan MacLeod. And he goes through all of the assumptions that people have. And most of them have to do with things that the Bible doesn't really say. And they say it does. So, if you want one, we'll send it to you. All right. Since we're in 1 John, let's stay right here. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, sin means we have gone against the commandments of God. So right here, 1 John, the first chapter, page 1136. Okay? Page 1136. This tells us that God knows that we sin. So what is God going to do about it? And what are we going to do about it? Because it's a two-way street. You can't have the blessings of God when you're cursing Him. Okay? You can't have the blessings of God if you don't obey His voice. And not doing those things represents sin. Now let's see what John writes here in 1 John, the first chapter, how we have to take care of it and how God takes care of it. Okay? So let's begin right here in verse 1. Now this tells us an awful lot about Christ and how important the apostles were, because they have written down everything that Christ wanted them to write down so we, down through time, would know what do we need to do. And we do have a book titled by that, Lord, What Should I Do? Okay? So we'll send a book to you on that as well. Okay? Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, we observe for ourselves. Now, observed here has a connotation of just gawking. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Little children, when they begin to be aware of things around them, they kind of get a look like this. And they just stare at you. Why? Because they're drinking in everything, because now they can see and it brings some memory to them. Okay? So, gazed means when they were with Jesus, they were watching everything He did, listening to every word He said. And later, this became a deeper impression upon them, because right at first, when they were first called, they didn't know that He was the only begotten Son of God. They knew He was a prophet. But by the time they got done and the church began, they began to understand, yes, He was very God before He came in the flesh, see. So this is what He's explaining here, okay? That which we observe for ourselves and our own hands handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and are bearing witness and are reporting to you the eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. Now think about how important that was for the apostles. Okay? That which we've seen and heard, we're reporting to you in order. A good thing. Love of God. Okay? In order that you may have fellowship with us, for the fellowship indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His own Son, Jesus Christ. Now think about this for a minute. Here we are today in this meeting. And in between, we're talking and everything like this. That is fellowship. Okay? So God wants a relationship of fellowship. God does His part. We do our part, okay? Our part is to obey His voice. Another part of it is that we have direct access to God through prayer. Now think about that for a minute. That's what it means to be under grace. What a gracious act that is, that anyone can have direct access with God the Father by prayer. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, it's simple. Let's get on your knees and start praying to God. Since you haven't prayed much, maybe it'll be a short one. I remember my first one was, oh, God, help me. How's that for a prayer? Okay. Well, God heard it. And when the answer came, I knew God answered. Okay. So that's what you would call fellowship. But notice it's with God the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, who's at His right hand. Now, you want to know what that looks like? You go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. That's quite a thing, okay? Think about that little old me, or little old you, or little old anybody else, all the big muckamucks in the world, they know nothing about it. They may get close at time, but they never stick with it, okay? We can actually pray to God. He will hear. He will listen. And more importantly, we have to confess our sins. Now let's see what he says about that. Verse 4. These things we are writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and that there is no darkness at all in him. Well, you see, the pagan religions had various categories of God. And the Jews have the Kabbalah, various degrees of enlightenment. And you have that with Masonic things and so forth. See, that you're in darkness, and the way that you're going to come to understand is that you go degree by degree by degree, and you get more and more enlightened. Well, God is not that way. See? There's no darkness at all in him. Now notice verse 6. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but are walking in darkness. Now, who's the prince of darkness? Satan, the devil. What is darkness? Darkness is that you and your own mind do not understand the way of God, and that you think you're walking in a way that's pretty good, but you really are walking contrary to God, because everything that a man does or a woman does, thinks in their own mind, they think it's good. See? So, they justify it in their own mind. Okay? Walking in darkness. So, if we're walking in darkness, now notice, here's the worst kind of lie. We are lying to ourselves. Self-deception is the worst kind. Why? Because it's hard to get rid of. If someone tells you a lie and you detect it's a lie, you could just dismiss it. But if you're living a lie and you think you're going the right way, that's hard. That's hard to come to understand. See, that's why God gave his word, so we can find out. We're lying to ourselves and we are not practicing the truth. Now that's quite a sentence there, isn't it? Practicing the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God is truth. Everything about God is truth. Fantastic thing. See? Now, isn't it something that in so-called Christian religion, they preach part of the Bible, but leave out other important things? It's just like that safe with the combination. You can never get to the gold. They say wonderful things that sound blessedly true, and the statement may be true, but if they don't bring the whole story, it's false. Now let's use an example. You sign a lease for a house or an apartment or to buy a house, and you go through and you look at the contract and it looks really good. Okay. Then comes on the signing day, they bring you a different set of documents and you don't know they're different. And they leave out certain things. They leave out the one clause that after 5 years, they can come and repossess your house without cause. So you sign it, and there you are, you move into your house, and 5th year comes along, and bang. Who's there? We're coming to take back the house. What do you mean? Well, it's in the contract. What do you mean? It says right there, after 5 years, we can reclaim the house without cause. Now, get out. Okay? Hey, that's just about the way that most of these preachers preach. They tell you, you get to God this way, but that's not the way you get to God. See? So let's see. What do we do? Here we are, sinners, wretched and miserable. Okay? Lying to herself. For the number one thing you need to start doing, quit lying to yourself. Whatever that may be. You may be doing something that you know you not ought to do, but you don't think consequences are going to come upon you. But sooner or later they do, right? Okay, so you need to stop that. Not practicing the truth. However, if we walk in the light, that is the light of God's word, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now notice how you have your sins forgiven. And this is why Jesus came and died. Not just an ordinary death. He was beaten and scourged and beaten to a pulp so that we could come and have our sins forgiven. And you look at some of the sins that God forgave, they were pretty nasty sins. And because he died for the sin of the world, which has combined all human nature and every human being, that applies to all of those who will repent. But you have to come to God his way, on his terms. He's willing to listen. You get on your knees. You pray to him. He will hear. He will forgive. Let's see how that is. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from most of our sins. No, it says all. All our sins. All right? Was King David forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba and killing her husband in battle? Yes. Okay. Was Manasseh the worst king in the whole Old Testament? Dealt with familiar spirits, put idols in the temple of God, set up booths in the temple of God for homosexuals, and desecrated the temple of God. God sent the Assyrians to carry him off into captivity and took him to Babylon because Assyria controlled Babylon at that time. And he was thrown in the dungeon. And what did he do? He repented. He repented. God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer. What happened to Manasseh? God caused the king of the Assyrians to take him out of the Babylonian prison, send him back to Jerusalem to be a vassal king. And what did he do? He went and cleaned out completely the temple, the booths for the homosexuals. He got rid of the idols. He got rid of the Baals. He got rid of the Ashtaroth. See? And he was the worst king for, what, over 40 years? Okay? The worst. So, don't think you don't have sins that God won't forgive, because he will forgive. But you have to repent. Okay. Now notice verse 8. If we say we have not sin, if we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. Well, it's like this. You ask a person, are you a good person? Well, they're not going to say, I'm a mean, hateful, blankety blank, you know. They're going to say, sure, I'm good. Don't all people think they're good? You ask them, they'll tell you, yeah. Well, do you have any faults? Well, yeah, I got a few faults. Well, what are those faults? Oh, they're not too bad. Don't have to worry about it. Okay. All right. See? No, it doesn't work that way. So verse 9. If, there we go. If, conditional. If we confess our own sins. Now then, why is this important? Because when you get on your knees and you pray to God, you can be totally honest. If you go to the Catholic priest in a little prayer booth, you think you're going to be totally honest with him? But I always like this one. I can't go on without this one. Man went into the prayer booth and, you know, they have this little shutter there and it's kind of dark and dank in there. So the shutter opens and the priest says, "Are you ready to confess your sins?" And he said, "Father, let's start with yours." No, you only tell enough of the sin. So you won't have to do too many Hail Marys or Our Fathers, you know. You can confess all of them. Why? God knows them. Every sin we've ever done is recorded in the spirit of our mind and are there. And only God can erase them, and only the Spirit of Truth can get rid of them. So that's why we confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous because he knows how human nature is. Okay? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Think of that. Have the slate wiped clean. See? One other king, King Ahab. He was wicked. He married Jezebel. And she was the high priestess of witchcraft in northern 10 tribes. And he took the field of Naboth, had him murdered to take it. And Jezebel was the one who did the execution and the murder. She hired someone to do it. Okay? So God told Elijah, his prophet, said, "You go to Ahab and you tell him he's going to die." So he went, told him, "You're the most unrighteous king that there ever is, and you're going to die. Thus says the Lord." Elijah turned and left. And guess what? Ahab repented. He put on sackcloth and ashes and walked tenderly, it says. So, Elijah's on his way going back home, and the word comes to Elijah. "Elijah, yes, Lord. You go back to my servant Ahab." "What?" "Yes, he's humbled himself. You go back and tell him that because he humbled himself, he's not going to die right away." So how about that? So Elijah turned around and came back, told Ahab. So now think about it. All of those examples are in there for us to understand that if there is true deep repentance to God, he will forgive. But there's one other catch. As Jesus said to those who had sinned, "Go and sin no more." Which means what? You're not going to be breaking the commandments of God. See? All right? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now notice verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And boy, know for sure, if that's the case, judgment is coming fast, heavy, swift, and hard. Okay? Chapter 2, let's go on. Because all of this is connected. Remember, all of this is connected with the love of God. Keeping his commandments the way he laid them all out, the Ten Commandments, the other commandments he's given us, they're all done in love. And isn't it a loving thing that God wants you to have contact with him, to have fellowship with him? Can there be anything more important than in the whole world? I mean, think about it. What's more important than that? Huh? Okay. So he says here, Chapter 2, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Now, may, there's a choice there. If you choose to do right, you're not going to sin. And yet, if anyone does sin, because human nature is there, and it's hard to overcome, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now think of this. This is why only God can do this. Can't be done any other way. Okay? He is the propitiation for our sins. That means continual source of atonement and forgiveness when we confess our sins. See? Now, all of us in here have been baptized. We still sin, don't we? Is it intentional? No. But does it happen? Yes. And sometimes we do things we know we shouldn't do, but we get carried away and do it anyway. Right? See? So that's why God has given this freely, because he wants the relationship with us, see, so that we can become the sons and daughters of God in his kingdom and live forever. That's what God wants, see. So let's go on with this, see. Propitiation for our sins. Now, lest we get selfish and think, aha, I have a connection with God, but these other people out there. No, don't take that attitude. Not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's why you need to understand the plan of God. When is he going to do that? How is he going to do that? See, that's why we have the holy days. That's why they're there. Now, let's go for a couple more verses here and see what we do. By this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Okay? The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is well-intended. No, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. See? But you go on TBN, they've been telling these good-sounding lies for so long, people can't tell the lie, and they don't know the truth because the preachers don't preach it. They just don't preach it. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, now notice this. See? Now, this expands. See? On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, that's his whole message. Now, that's why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have the Acts of the Apostles. Then we have the general epistles. Then we have the epistles of Paul. And then we have the pastoral epistles. And then we have the book of Revelation. All of that gives us understanding of what God is doing. See? So what we're covering here today is how everything like this begins. All right? Truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. Notice that. Being perfected. By this means, we know that we are in him. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself to walk even as he himself walked. Quite a verse, isn't it? Quite an obligation. See? Now, think about that. If you ever watch TBN, I remember we did a series on the mystery of Protestantism. So I spent a lot of time watching TBN. I restrict my television viewing down to certain things, and I didn't even know we had TBN. So here we've been paying for it all these years, so I finally start watching TBN. And these guys are the slickest, smoothest liars in the world. Hey? There's this one guy, David Jeremiah. Oh, boy, he preaches, when we all go to heaven, listen, there's no going to heaven. It's going to resurrection. Okay? That's different. Okay? And then there's Charles Stanley. Now, I'll admit he's one of the best. But when it comes to the Sabbath and the holy days, it's high leap over the fence and go on. Okay? And he does good in telling people how to help solve their problems. But there's more to it. He tells them a little bit how to have contact with God. But if you don't tell them about the Sabbath and holy days, that's all limited. It's just like that safe right out there in the middle of the floor with the missing numbers and the wrong turns. You're never going to get to the goal. So that's how it is. All right? Now, let's come back here to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And let's think about this for a minute. There's an awful lot here in Matthew 22. Okay? Now, I also saw, you'll see this on a church at home. Randy got a clip of one of these preachers, and he had the two tablets of stone and the commandments on both of them. And he was telling them, okay, now that's page 984. 984. Okay? And he was telling them the law is done away. And it started going right down through the Ten Commandments. Right down through the Ten Commandments. And he said, the law is done away. And what does that mean? Because Paul said, where there is no law, there is no sin. So there's no, you're not sinning. See? How slick is that? See? I mean, that clip blew my mind. Right there. Okay? Now notice, if the law is done away, then what I'm about to read here has also been done away. I want you to think on that. Verse 36, one of the doctors of the law came and said, Master, coming to Christ, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? If the law is done away, and this is the great commandment, which it is, then this has been done away as well. But you can't do away with the law because it's spiritual. It exists forever. See? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's a commandment. The greatest one in the law. And if the law is done away, this is done away, right? Okay. This is the first and greatest commandment. Because how are you going to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God first? You can't. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be treated? You don't want to be murdered. You don't want to be raped. Okay. You don't want to have your possessions stolen, etc., etc. We all already read that, see? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now notice what he says in verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every law of God is based on love. Everything that the prophets say is based on love. Repent or suffer the consequences. That's the sum total of the prophets. Okay? So, and then, remember the count, I think it's in Luke, then the doctor of the law said, who is my neighbor? So what did Jesus say? There was a man traveling to Jerusalem, and he fell in among thieves. And they beat him and took his things and left him on the road to die. And here came a priest, and he walked way on the other side and left that man alone, lest he be unclean if he gets to the temple. And here comes a Levite, and he looks at him, and he goes the other side himself, so he wouldn't be unclean. And here comes a hated Samaritan. And he came, and he put wine and oil in his wound, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, took care of him, and then he told the innkeeper, you take care of him, and when I come back, I'll pay you for whatever is necessary. Which one loved his neighbor as himself? The hated Samaritan. So, we'll just end this way. If you can do away with the law of gravity by an edict of man, then the laws and commandments of God have been done away. But you cannot do that. And God has given all of his laws in love and in truth. so that we can be in contact with him and love each other and love our neighbors as ourselves. Now that's what God wants.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.